following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to have Dr. John Cannell on, and he's going to be talking about how vitamin D improves athletic performance. Vitamin D is very popular because of its health benefits. But lo and behold, for those of us who like to train hard or consider ourselves athletes, there's more to the story that we're going to unfold this morning. Later in the show, Jim Marlowe's coming on to do the second installment on the spectrum of possibilities for human metabolism. Part two is going to be the protein preferential metabolism, so we'll be discussing that later in the show. Okay, my guest this morning, Dr. John Cannell, is the head of the Vitamin D Council. Very, very impressive. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cannell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I have to give a shout-out to the gentleman who's involved with the publishing of your book right now, which is Bill Sardi. Bill's a great guy, very influential, also disseminating information about vitamin D, but you take a new slant on it. Your website is vitamindsportsbook.com. We'll give that again later in the show. When did it become apparent that vitamin D had some sort of influence on athletic performance and strength?
Well, I first noticed it at the hospital that I used to work at in California, a hospital for the criminally insane, believe it or not.
Really?
But back in the in 2001, I started supplementing all my patients with 5,000 units of vitamin D, and many of these guys were coming from state prisons in California where they'd been in solitary confinement, lockup, administrative segregation, and many of them like to play sports, especially basketball. And they just came back to me one after another, saying, "Doc, I don't know what you have me on, but my game is clicking. I'm on." They told me that that their reaction time was quicker. They could jump higher, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't know what to think of this. I mean,
Did you dismiss it as, well, thanks for the credit, but I don't know what you're talking about?
No, I didn't, because I knew enough about vitamin D. Activated vitamin D is a steroid hormone, and I thought to myself, well, it's certainly not unreasonable that it has has an effect on athletic performance. I mean, there are vitamin D receptors and the enzyme necessary to activate vitamin D in muscle cells and nerve cells and heart cells and brain cells, all these tissues that are that are used in athletic performance. But I looked at the literature and there was nothing in there except for older people in which they tested grip strength and muscle strength and balance and speed at which you could get dressed and speed with which you could sit down in a chair and get up again and walk across the room, etc. And things nobody thought of as athletic performance. But when you stop and say, well, that is athletic performance for an older person, how quickly they can get dressed is a measurement of their athletic performance. But there was nothing in the literature that I could find about elite athletes or looking at 100 meter dash times, et cetera, et cetera. Except there was this implication that the East Germans and Russians had studied this many years ago. So it turns out I had access to translations of German and Russian papers, and so I was able to go back and begin a search of that literature, and lo and behold, especially in the 1950s, and in Germany even before that, there were dozens of papers using ultraviolet radiation of the wavelength that makes vitamin D testing all aspects of athletic performance. Many of those were either in college students or in athletes, and many of the papers were actually came out of elite sports institutes in what was then East Germany and Russia. It was just remarkable. Not only did they find significant improvements, and you know, especially the Germans did very meticulous studies.
Yeah,
about it.
They
besides the athletic performance, they found that vitamin D induces what they called an artificial training effect. That is, and this
really?
Was basically this was confirmed about 3 months ago in a paper in the American Journal of Cardiology. But what they found in this recent paper was that the higher your vitamin D level, the better your cardiorespiratory fitness. Period.
Really?
Yeah, just period. No.
I mean, well, okay. So let's talk about some of these things. First of all, vitamin D seems to influence both strength and response time. Correct.
Yes, the choice reaction time is the way you measure that, and choice reaction time has been studied extensively, especially by the Germans, and there's no doubt that choice reaction time decreases, that it improves with vitamin D.
Is there any indication in the literature that points that vitamin D influences perhaps the development of the mammalian sheath around the nerves or in the brain?
The mechanisms that I'm aware of are not that detailed. That's a great question, but to my knowledge, nobody has ever looked at it that. Looked at it like that. All they've done is they've measured choice reaction time, irradiated or given vitamin D, and then measured choice reaction time again. And they've done that sort of study in dozens of times in different ways.
How dramatic is the improvement? Is it okay? In elderly people, we know that these things can come about. But how dramatic is the improvement in trained athletes?
It depends entirely upon what the baseline 25-hydroxy vitamin D level is. That is, if you start, like most athletes, vitamin D deficient, and that's surprising to most people, that most athletes, including elite athletes, are vitamin D deficient. The effect size is significant. I mean, it's dramatic. It's not minor. But if you start with a baseline 25-hydroxy vitamin D that's only marginally deficient, then the effect size is not as much. But it still can make the difference between winning and losing in a elite competition. So the answer to that question is, for most people, it's dramatic.
Now,
it's noticeable. It's the person themselves will notice the effect.
You know, optimal 25-hydroxy D levels is kind of a moving target in this day and age, depending on where your information comes from. Those who are huge proponents of the importance of vitamin D will tell you that levels, and you have to help me with the metrics, you know, 50, what is it, nanograms a liter or something like that?
Yeah, nanograms per milliliter. Yes.
Okay, per milliliter, you know, or above is optimal. The medical orthodoxy looks at anything being even near 30 as suitable. What are we talking about in the way of athletic performance? What is optimal?
Yeah, that's a great question. The way to answer that question, in my opinion, is to say, well, what's the natural vitamin D level? What's vitamin D levels of humans living in the natural state? And there's lots of different ways to answer that question. One is to try to get people who don't wash and who live around the equator without any clothes on. That study has never been done. And the reason it's don't wash is because there is a significant but unknown amount of vitamin D that's made actually on the surface of
right.
the skin. And when you wash every day, you're actually washing some of your vitamin D off. Now, it may not be a significant amount. It's enough to cure rickets in rabbits, the amount that's washed off. But what percentage of total production that surface production is, no one knows. That is, the study has literally never been done. But you need to answer the question of what the natural vitamin D level is. You'd have to find somebody, again, living near the equator without any clothes on who doesn't wash. And that's never been done. Now, there are ways of answering that question.
Wait. I want to back up and just stay with that concept for a second. The the amount of melanin in the skin also predicts the response to the sun in the biosynthesis of vitamin D, does it not?
It just lengthens it. The amount of melanin you have in your skin doesn't determine the amount that's ultimately made. It just means it takes longer to make
it. Okay, thank you, thank you. Okay, okay. All right, so now go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
And there's all these what are called biomarkers.
Right.
For example, parathyroid hormone. How much vitamin D do you have to take to maximally optimize parathyroid hormone?
Right.
And that's one biomarker. Now, and there are all these biomarkers, and many of them have different, like the amount of calcium absorbed, the maximum amount of calcium absorbed from the intestine. But to me, and I've thought a lot about this, to me, the best biomarker by far is the amount of vitamin D that is necessary for breast milk to become a rich source of vitamin D, rich enough to sustain the baby's vitamin D level.
Ah, so in other words, what you're doing is you've got everything your body needs, and now some is overflowing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's a kind of a biochemical approach, and that's called substrate deficiency. Now, for most people, if you measure two things, if you measure their 25-hydroxy vitamin D level and you measure their vitamin D level, their cholecalciferol level, their cholecalciferol level is non-detectable. That is, for most people, the vitamin D that they take is immediately used up and none of it is stored as the parent compound in a blood or muscle or fat tissues.
Right.
And that means that your body is using up as fast as you take it in. Now, once your level gets up to about 50, you can start detecting vitamin D in the blood, not just 25-hydroxy vitamin D, but vitamin D, meaning the body has all that it needs, and it's storing some for the future. Now, that level of 50 is very important because that is also happens to be the level at which pregnant women have lots of vitamin D in their breast milk. It also happens to be the level where our closest simian relatives, that's the level they have, about 50.
Mm.
So, that's also the level where substrate deficiency no longer occurs. So, and it's also the midpoint of the reference range. It's also the level where lifeguards often have levels of about 50.
Bingo, and they're out in the sun. They're as close,
right,
you know,
right,
not
right.
necessarily near the equator, but as
right.
close as we're going to get.
So the Vitamin D Council, and I'd like to talk about the Vitamin D Council.
Well, let's do this. We've actually gone a couple minutes over because this information is so important. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's pick it up talking about the Vitamin D Council, and then we will discuss in greater detail the influences of vitamin D on athletic performance. We're talking today with Dr. John Cannell. He has published a book, and you can find it at vitamindsportsbook.com. Athlete's Edge, faster, quicker, stronger with vitamin D. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. John Cannell. We're talking about vitamin D and its effect on athletic performance. Later in the show, Jim Marlowe will be coming on to do the second installment of the spectrum of possibilities for human metabolism, part two, which is protein preferential people. Try saying that three times fast. Dr. Cannell, you wanted to talk about the Vitamin D Council.
Yes, because a dollar out of every book sale goes to support the Vitamin D Council, and the Vitamin D Council is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. It's been in existence now almost 10 years, and we have been tirelessly working and fighting for to educate people about this terrible epidemic of vitamin D deficiency that exists all over the world, and the income from the sales of this book, our accountant says, is going to be a very important source of income for the next couple of years for the Vitamin D Council. So, the Vitamin D Council has a number of activities. We sometimes have programs where we give away vitamin D for free. We're going to be doing that this Thursday at the street fair here in San Luis Obispo. We sponsor an autism clinic that will begin in September, in which we get children with autism who come in, and we for free, this is totally free, we treat their vitamin D deficiency. The blood test is free, the vitamin D is free, the autism scales is free, my time as a psychiatrist, as a physician, is free. So it's a wonderful program that we have, and we have a number of other things like that. You can get to the Vitamin D Council, just Google Vitamin D Council, and you can become a member, which we'd very much appreciate. It's not expensive at all, $5 a month to become a member, or you can make a donation. We survive on donations.
Don't you also make available vitamin D tests at a very, very reasonable price? I had a guest on once that plugged your website. Why can't I think of her name? It's going to come to me. She moved from Southern California to Reno, Nevada.
I don't know, but we do have a program that's really very popular because it usually saves people quite a bit of money, and that's a in-home vitamin D blood test.
Right,
you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to go have your blood drawn. For $65, the ZRT sends you a kit, and you prick your finger and you put a little blood on a blotter paper and you send it in, and with a week or two you get an accurate reading of your vitamin D blood level and with an interpretation. And if you mess up, if you don't get enough blood or something happens to the blotter paper, you just contact ZRT and they'll send you a whole other kit. In other
words,
you're not charged until they get enough blood to do an accurate test, even if it takes 10 kits. So that's very nice. And when you add up the doctor's visit and the cost of the test, and then sometimes another visit for the doctor to interpret the test, often interpreted incorrectly, by the way. So it's a lot of people love having that in-home convenience. And
vitamin D is one of those things that you shouldn't take willy-nilly, like perhaps vitamin C, because as we talked before the show, and something that I've talked about on the show in the past, vitamin D is actually a hormone, correct?
Yeah, well, vitamin D is a pre-hormone. It's the only known building block for a very potent steroid hormone called calcitriol, or activated vitamin D. That is, unlike testosterone, which if your body needs more testosterone, your body simply manufactures cholesterol in the body and makes more testosterone. You don't have to do anything. Same with estrogen, same with progesterone, same with aldosterone, same with cortisol. It doesn't matter. All the other steroid hormones have a way of that the body actually manufactures the building block, and your behavior no special behaviors required for your body to manufacture any of the steroid hormones except one. And that one is vitamin D. If you don't get the building block either from the sun or from a supplement, then you're vitamin D deficient, period, no exceptions. It's really very remarkable, especially when you realize that, like all steroid hormones, vitamin D works by being a key to a gene. And with vitamin D, there are more than 1,000 genes that have been discovered that are direct targets of vitamin D. That is, 5% of your genome, 1,000 genes, are waiting to be told by only one thing that can tell them what to do, and that's vitamin D.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's the key that unlocks 1,000 human genes. Those genes are sitting there idle unless they have enough vitamin D to direct them to do what they need to do, either make protein or reduce the amount that it's being made. But the regulation is through vitamin D. And that's why, if you understand that principle, then you can see why one day you'll read in the New York Times that vitamin D is involved in cancer. The next day you'll read it's involved in heart disease. The next day it's involved in rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera. And you say, how can it be involved in all these genes? Well, if you think about vitamin D, if you wanted to classify it, you know, progesterone is the steroid hormone of pregnancy. Estrogen is the steroid hormone of women. Testosterone is the steroid hormone of men. Vitamin D, activated vitamin D, is the repair and maintenance steroid hormone of the human body. That's its function.
Unfortunately, we are sun phobic today. And on top of that, when we go out in the sun, we put on sun blockers, which, in my humble opinion, and I know I don't have any accreditation, I'm not a physician, but in my humble opinion, lead to a lot of the skin cancers that occur because they block the production of the chemoprotective vitamin D in the skin.
There are actually studies now indicating exactly what you're saying may be the case. But what has certainly not happened is what the dermatologist promised us, and that's that if everybody used sunblock, there'd be this great reduction in skin cancer. The opposite has occurred.
Right. Let's get back on track talking about vitamin D's effect on athletic performance. Can you give me some other research? Can you talk about some other studies that point to the effects of vitamin D in specific types of athletes?
The sports colleges, especially in Germany, would have these big central sun lamps where they would radiate their elite athletes, and they studied how often they should be irradiated and how long they should be irradiated, and which sports benefited the most, whether they should be irradiated on the day of competition, et cetera.
Now, when we talk about irradiated, I'm misunderstanding you. When you say irradiated, are you talking about to biosynthesize vitamin D irradiated?
Right. Just like when you go out in the sun, you're irradiated by the sunshine.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And what was amazing to me was that there were dozens of these studies in the Russian and German literature up until about 1958, and then they suddenly stopped. Nothing. But something happened starting in the late 50s. The East Germans and the Russians began dominating international sports games, especially the Olympics.
Right.
Now, everybody says it's because their testosterone, their anabolic steroids were better than ours.
Right, right.
But if you speak to athletes who from back in that time, everybody used anabolic steroids, and ours were the same as theirs. That argument, that's the reason, just doesn't hold water. I'm convinced that they dominated the Olympics because they were the East Germans and the Russians were competing against vitamin D deficient athletes for those 30 years.
Wow!
And if my theory is correct, then if an Olympics occurred close to the equator in the summertime at very high altitude, I could test the theory. That is because if an Olympics occurred very high altitude during the summer, athletes from all over the world would have to come to that city to get acclimatized to the altitude. And when they did so, their vitamin D levels would skyrocket.
Right.
And then I would predict that the East Germans and Russians would not dominate those Olympics. And furthermore, I'd predict that multiple world records would fall. Because for the first time, athletes from all over the world, at least in outdoor sports, would be vitamin D sufficient. And in fact, that Olympics occurred. And the two things that I predicted occurred exactly like I said. First, the East Germans and Russians didn't dominate. They turned in fifth and sixth. And the number of world records that fell was enormous. And the Olympics was Mexico City in 1968. The number of world records that fell in Mexico City was enormous. And they were almost all in outdoor sports.
Right, right.
Just enormous.
What?
Do you remember that picture of Bob Beamon jumping 28 and 29 feet in a single jump?
Yes, yes.
It looked like he was flying. If you get a picture of him and you do a close-up analysis of his skin, you can see that there is evidence of sun exposure. So those outdoor athletes, it didn't matter how much melanin was in their skin, they were outdoors long enough because they were practicing and they were acclimatizing, and they had to do that for weeks and actually months to get acclimatized. And so their vitamin D levels were up. And so if you want to see what vitamin D can do to elite athletes, go read about the 1968 Mexico City Olympics. That's what it can do.
Do you think that melanin production or melanin levels in the skin are an evolutionary process to those who are exposed to greater degrees of sun? The body, through negative feedback loops, wanted to protect itself against the overproduction of vitamin D, so melanin became the go-to agent to slow the process down. I'm Southern Italian. I'm very dark-skinned. I know that I have to stay in the sun longer to produce the same amount of vitamin D as somebody who is maybe a Nordic, let's say, Scandinavian.
It probably has more to do with protecting folic acid stores in the dermis. The body has a way, whether you're how much melanin is in your skin, it doesn't matter. The body has a way of protecting yourself from vitamin D toxicity from sun exposure. There's a steady state set up. The same sunlight that makes vitamin D begins to destroy it once your body's made about 20,000, 30,000 units of vitamin D a day. The same sunlight starts to destroy the vitamin D. So no one has ever gotten toxic from sun exposure, light skin or dark skin. It doesn't matter because of this mechanism that degrades vitamin D via ultraviolet light. So it's interesting. The same ultraviolet light that makes vitamin D also degrades it over a period of time.
Interesting.
With continued sun exposure.
Very interesting. We have to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. I've got some more questions for you about dosing of oral supplementations of vitamin D. What is reckless? What is realistic? You can get a copy of the book, The Athlete's Edge, Faster, Quicker, Stronger with Vitamin D, by going to vitamindsportsbook.com. It's only $19.95 for the paperback. I suggest everybody get it. I think it's a very, very important book, and I'm looking forward to using some of the information in it to increase my athletic performance. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. For those of you tuning in for the first time to Superhuman Radio, Superhuman Radio airs Monday through Friday from noon to 2 Eastern Time. You can listen to it here on Shoutcast or go to the website superhumanradio.com and download the podcast after the show airs. We're talking right now with Dr. John Cannell about the effects of vitamin D on sports performance. His new book, The Athlete's Edge, Faster, Quicker, Stronger with Vitamin D, vitamindsportsbook.com. Get a copy today. Okay. A mutual friend of ours, Bill Sardi, had taught me a long time ago that when I feel a cold coming on or think that I've contracted the flu, to take pretty bolus doses of vitamin D, 20,000 IUs, even 30,000 IUs in a day. Do you think that's reckless to do on occasion? And also, what is a reasonable dose of vitamin D on a day-to-day basis?
Well, when I first wrote about that in 2005, it was meant to be people who were significantly ill, not just standard cold or flu symptoms, but people who's who might be heading to the hospital because flu has a significant morbidity and mortality.
I had I just want to go on the record saying that I had swine flu in 2009, and I did nothing but take 30,000 IUs of vitamin D a day, and in 3 days I was back on my feet.
Yes, although it's not been tested. It's my contention, and it will be tested eventually, is that pharmacological doses of vitamin D will be the first effective treatment for established influenza. It is pretty well established that lower doses of vitamin D help prevent the flu. That doesn't mean you can't get the flu with vitamin D. It simply means that your risk or your chances of getting it are reduced. And furthermore, if you're on adequate doses of vitamin D and you do get the flu, the symptoms will not be as severe. But a lot of people, you know, I get emails all the time, Dr. Cannell, I was on 5,000 units of vitamin D a day and I got the flu, you're a quack.
5,000 is not a clinical dose of vitamin D.
The theory that, you know, that I wrote about, first in my newsletter and then in the refereed medical literature, it contended that it reduced the risk. It doesn't 100% prevent it. So
right.
people need to understand that. And in terms of dosage, most adults actually need 5,000 units a day. I suspect that athletes probably need more than that. And the reason is because we're just now starting to get papers in the medical literature about metabolic clearance of vitamin D, and that's just a technical term for meaning used up. And it makes sense. If you're a couch potato, you don't use up as much of your vitamin D as if you're a marathon runner. Nobody knows exactly, but with this in-home vitamin D test that you can get on our website, just again, Google Vitamin D Council, or you can just Google, am I vitamin D deficient? Just Google those words, am I vitamin D deficient? You'll come right to the webpage where it explains the test and that you can order it. But what you should do, and what all athletes should do if they're interested in this, is they should start supplementing, start testing, and find out where they get their vitamin D levels into peak ranges. And I suspect those peak ranges are going to be in the high normal ranges. So we're talking 60, 70, 80 nanograms per milliliter.
Right.
There is no advantage known. In fact, there's some reasons to think that levels higher than that, levels of 120, 150, will actually impair athletic performance.
Really?
Yes. It also appears that those levels will mean you're urinating out your bones. That is, even though you might feel great if your level's 150, if you check your total calcium, 24 urine calcium output, you're urinating out calcium. That is, you're losing calcium, and over a long enough period of time, it will soften and weaken.
I understand there's lots of things that have points of diminishing returns, but why would it have exactly the opposite effect in the higher doses, where it may increase bone mineral uptake? Now all of a sudden, it seems to cause you to excrete calcium.
Because the levels like 150 are they're unphysiological. They don't occur in nature. And with a level of that, what you're doing is tonically telling the bones that they need to resorb and issue calcium to maintain serum calcium. You're tricking the bones into thinking that serum calcium levels are inadequate. That's what happens with levels like that.
Okay.
Now that's not been shown. That's not been proven yet. I mean, I want you to understand. I want to make the distinction between. What I think is happening, and what I my interpretation of the level of the literature is, and what's been proven to be true. So far, there's no proof at all that levels of 150 do that sort of thing. In fact, there's no evidence that levels of 150 are dangerous, but they're certainly not physiological. No, lifeguards don't have levels of 150. They have levels of 50 or 60, but not levels of 150.
Do you think that there are genetic polymorphisms within certain groups of people, perhaps due to their place of origin, that allows them to take higher doses of oral vitamin D, D3, or require higher doses of vitamin D3 to reach those peak levels? Because there was a study done on fair-skinned Scandinavians not too long ago that showed that they could reach the 50 nanograms a milliliter levels with just as little as 3,000 to 5,000 IUs a day. And to me, that seems absurd because I have to take 10,000 IUs a day to even start to breach the 50 nanogram a millimeter.
Yeah, but you're an athlete, right?
Well, I'm an athlete, and I'm also I'm also dark skinned. I'm wondering if there's there is a higher degree of clearance in some people, or any evidence of that?
Yes, there are evidence of all that. The polymorphisms is very interesting, and people go around saying, I have this polymorphism, so I need to take this amount. There's just no evidence to support that in the literature. Those sort of studies have not been done, but it's probably exactly true and polymorphism just means many shapes. And what we're talking about is polymorphisms of the vitamin D receptor. And there people have different shaped vitamin D receptors. And some of those vitamin D receptors work better than others. So, and we don't even know which ones work the best yet. So, there's lots of confusion about that. But there are lots of genetic aspects of vitamin D. You inherit the shape of your vitamin D receptors. You inherit relative amount of the enzyme that makes activated vitamin D. You inherit the enzyme that degrades vitamin D. So a certain percentage, as much as 50% of your vitamin D levels are dependent actually on genetics. That is, you inherit that tendency. So I suspect within your case, you're burning it, you're metabolically clearing it because of your intense sports regimen. But it might also be that you've inherited, this tendency to need more vitamin D. That's why if you're really serious about it, you've got to get your levels tested relatively regularly.
A reasonable frequency to get levels tested? Twice a year?
Well, once you know yourself pretty well, twice a year is fine. But in the initial couple of years, you know, every few months is a good idea until you understand what your particular physiology is. It's going to be different from everybody else's.
Crispin Sullivan is the young lady who came on my show once and talked about the vitamin D test being very reasonable at your the Vitamin D Council website, by the way.
Good.
She's also one of the people who inspired me to start testing my own vitamin D levels and not be willy-nilly about it, because otherwise you're really kind of shooting in the dark.
Exactly.
You really don't know if you're taking an adequate amount or you're wasting your money and taking way too much.
Right.
I personally use a product by Pure Encapsulations, which is a liquid vitamin D that each droplet is 1,000 IUs. So I take 10,000 IUs a day in combination with a small amount of vitamin D that I get from my cod liver oil, which you and I will be doing a show in the very near future to talk about the relationship between vitamin A and vitamin D and the importance of understanding that relationship. And I find that I feel better when I take my vitamin D. I do notice that I have less of that sadness that occurs sometimes when it's appropriate to even be sad. I feel like I can cope better with vitamin D. Are these all illusions, you think, placebos?
No.
Or is it really proven in the literature that that's really what it does?
Yes, it's close to proven in the literature that mood states are in part dependent on vitamin D. And the researcher Reinhold Veith did a randomized controlled trial of 4,000 units a day, and he proved that the feeling of well-being is significantly increased in people on 4,000 units a day compared to placebo. So no, that's not all.
And obviously that plays a role in athletic performance too, because if you don't feel like you're on your game,
right,
you're not going to be on your game. We have to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I've got a couple more questions about how it influences athletic performance and strength. We're talking with Dr. John Cannell, and you can get a copy of his book, which is The Athlete's Edge, Faster, Quicker, Stronger with Vitamin D, by going to vitamindsportsbook.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Branch Chain chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the isolator. The isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the isolator fitness banner ad today. The isolator, the only way to train.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Jim Marlowe will be giving the second installment. We'll be talking about people whose bodies or metabolism prefer protein, and obviously protein and fat, over carbohydrates. Primordial Performance is having a buy one, get one free on all the Andro Series products starting on Thursday, August 11th. Go to primordialperformance.com and check them out. My guest this hour is Dr. John Cannell. We're talking about vitamin D's effects on sports performance. His new book, which is available right now at vitamindsportsbook.com, The Athlete's Edge, Faster, Quicker, Stronger with Vitamin D, gives you all the answers you will need to let you use vitamin D to make yourself stronger and perform better. Is there any relationship between vitamin D and the anabolic effect in muscle?
Well, yes, there is. There is actually just a recent study that showed vitamin D almost doubled the testosterone levels of vitamin D deficient men. It was remarkable. Now, before we go, can I ask you a question? I know you have sponsors.
Yes.
And I have a vitamin D line with my name on it, but I don't want to mention it unless that's
no,
okay.
You can mention it. Go ahead. Sure.
Okay. All right. If people just Google Purity Products and go, you'll find Dr. Cannell's Advanced Vitamin D. And
sure.
It's a high-end product, but the reason it's unique is because it has all the cofactors that vitamin D needs to function properly. If you can't afford this product and you just take the vitamin D from Walmart, that's fine. But remember, you have to eat a handful of seeds and nuts every day to get the magnesium and the zinc that you need. And in addition, you need a form of vitamin K, preferably vitamin K2, as a supplement. So you need magnesium, zinc, boron, and vitamin K2. Those are cofactors vitamin D needs. And the magnesium, zinc, and the vitamin K2 are actually all things that most Americans are deficient in.
Right.
So the nice thing about the Dr. Cannell's Advanced Vitamin D is you can just take this and forget it. You don't have to worry about eating the seeds and the nuts.
Where can
green
people go? I remember Purity Products. They've been around for a long time. Very, very good product.
Yeah, they're a great company. Just Google Purity Products, or you can Google my name, and Google ad will come up. But it's called Dr. Cannell's Advanced Vitamin D. Just Google that, and you'll get it. My recommendation is that there's different ones available, but my recommendation is to get the amount with the high dose of vitamin K2 in it. That's my favorite of all the line.
Okay, getting back to vitamin D and anabolism just for a second. Aside from elevating testosterone levels, do you believe that there is a mechanism of action or a pathway that vitamin D works? Since it works on all these different gene expressions on different levels, I've always suspected, because of some of the literature that I read, again, some of it done in elderly people, obviously, but still, that vitamin D somehow either enhances the effects of mechanogrowth factors or influences their production to some degree in its ability to allow you to continue to attain greater inroads in strength in firing new muscle fibers. Is there any evidence that my assumptions are in line?
Yes, but yes, there is, but it's sort of the other end of the spectrum. It's simply the Germans showed that giving vitamin D allows people to not only increase muscle strength but increase muscle mass much more readily and to a much greater extent than vitamin D deficient people. So if you're vitamin D deficient, and most people are, if you don't take supplements, and you start supplementing with 5 or 10,000 units a day, you'll notice that not only are your muscles stronger and much stronger. I mean, it's not a minor effect, but you'll notice that you're able to muscle up much more effectively. Some people know this if they stop and think, depending on where they live and what they do in the summertime, but many people work, they work out outside on the beach in the summertime. They know they feel great, and they know they can muscle up more, especially around August. They're amazed, and then they go back inside, and they have to work really hard to, and they end up losing some of those gains.
Yeah, that's
true. The effect of the sun.
Yeah, that is very true. What will people get if they buy the book? Obviously, you've given a wealth of information right now up front that should inspire anyone out there to start taking their vitamin D to increase their own athletic performance and strength. But what else will people get if they buy the book?
Well, what the book is a layperson's expansion of a paper I published in the flagship journal of the American College of Sports Medicine. Back about 4 years ago, I published a paper in Medicine and Science and Sports and Exercise, which is, again, the journal of the American College of Sports Medicine. And then I went and presented at their annual conference. And it's a layperson's explanation of all these studies that occurred in East Germany and Russia. What you can do, what you should do, how often you should get tested, where you can get tested, how to get your vitamin D, what the different options are, et cetera, what other things are needed with the vitamin D, and what other supplements have been shown in double-blind trials to improve athletic performance. So that's what's in the book.
And actually, you can read 6 sample chapters by going to vitamindsportsbook.com. I'm telling people to get this book. This is really important stuff. So many of us turn to exotic, ergogenic, and performance aids. Some of them, if not many of them, have some negative side effects, but we say, well, we're going to chalk it up because my progress is more important right now at this point in my life than my health. Well, here's one like testosterone. Here's one that imparts greater health while improving your strength and athletic performance levels, and that you can take for the rest of your life. That's another thing. Most performance aids, you take them for periods of time, and then you have to abandon them
because they're no good for you. Vitamin D you'll take for the rest of your life.
One more thing. Everything in this book is also true for your grandmother who can't get out of her wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's so important to understand that.
Yes.
Everything in that is true for her, too. And you'll be amazed if you know any people who are in wheelchairs just because of generalized muscle weakness. You start them on 5,000 units of vitamin D a day, you'll be amazed in a couple months. They'll literally get up and walk.
Yeah.
Now, not all of them. Not all of them can do that. It depends on the what's going on. But you'll be amazed at how many. And there were papers published in this that tried to alert the medical community that so many of these elderly people in wheelchairs are in there because they're vitamin D deficient. And it's a simple matter of getting their vitamin D levels up and their muscle strength returns. So this book is, people say it's for athletes, but give it to your grandparents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when I finally, my mother's physician wanted her to take 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day, and she was listening to her. And one day I went with her to her doctor's appointment, and I asked her physician, a well-meaning woman, I said, have you ever checked my mother's vitamin D levels? And she said, no. I says, well, instead of continuing to tell her to up her calcium intake, how about we find out where her D levels were? Well, sure enough, her D levels were in the dirt. She had my mother take 150,000 IU vitamin D once a week for 6 weeks and then be retested. Taking a bolus dose of vitamin D like that, is there any risk in taking 50,000 IUs once a week?
The problem with that was vitamin D2, Drizdol, not vitamin D3, and vitamin D2 doesn't work as well. That's a non-physiological way of getting it. I mean, I prefer daily dosing because that's the way our ancestors got it when we lived in the sun in equatorial Africa. But the half-life of vitamin D is such that taking 50,000 units once a week is probably almost as good as taking it 5,000 units once a day.
But now you said earlier in the show, and we're coming closely to the end of the show. Earlier in the show, you said that the body will produce up to 20,000 IUs a day if you stay in the sun all day long, all the time.
No. Within 20 minutes, it makes that much. Your body makes all the vitamin D it's going to make that day in half the time it takes your skin to begin to turn pink.
I'll be darned. So why not just take 20,000 IUs of vitamin D a day and be done with it?
You don't need that much one thing.
And plus, you don't absorb everything your skin makes. Like you said, a lot of people wash it off by going in the water. They don't realize what they're losing.
They wash some of it off, and how much nobody knows how much is washed off.
Yeah, that's a research paper that's worth investing in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Dr. Cannell, I want to thank you so much for coming on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Go out and get the book, vitamindsportsbook.com. Vitamin D could be the difference that you're looking for in your athletic performance and definitely in your health. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Jim Marlowe on doing the second installment. We're going to be talking about people whose bodies prefer protein and fat over carbohydrates. How do you know if you're one of those people, and what do you do? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today.
today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is a fan favorite, Jim Marlowe. We're doing the second installment on the spectrum of possibilities for human metabolism. This is part two, protein preferential. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing just fine, Carl. How are you?
Very good, very good. Okay, last week we covered carbohydrate-centric type people, people whose bodies do better with a higher carbohydrate intake. This week we're going to do the protein preferential people, which really we have to talk about protein and fat. Isn't that correct?
Yes, because fat is as important as the protein. They're both important. And then for people in protein-type metabolism, there's also a component of foods and something that our body naturally makes called purines that's actually really as important as the protein and the fat. Purines are actually the most important issue in human nutrition that hardly anybody knows about.
I take that back. The only people who know about purines are people who have gout because they're told by their doctors to avoid any foods that produce purines, right?
Well, it's really the uric acid that's the problem with gout. And uric acid is the metabolic byproduct of purine metabolism. But
bingo.
Just a short story on purines is this. Purines are naturally made in the body. They're essential for life. Purines are absolutely essential specifically for energy metabolism and also for DNA production. You know what the universal energy molecule in every cell is, Carl?
ATP.
It's abbreviated ATP.
Right.
ATP stands for adenosine triphosphate.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Adenosine is a purine.
Ah.
So your body cannot produce energy without sufficient purine availability. So the body makes purines. It has a endogenous ability to produce purines, but we also get purines from all foods that we eat, all natural whole foods from nature, plant foods and animal foods. They all contain at least some purines. generally speaking, animal foods are richer in purines than plant foods, but there are a few exceptions to that. But when someone is in protein-type metabolism, it's not enough for them to eat protein. It's very important that they eat protein that contains sufficient amounts of purines. They have to eat, relatively speaking, they have to eat protein-rich or purine-rich proteins in order to satisfy their metabolic need for protein.
So what proteins are purine-rich?
Well, again, there's some purines in all foods, but the proteins, the foods that are richer in purines and thus have the greater value for someone in protein type metabolism, a greater value for truly satisfying their appetite and helping them to improve their metabolic efficiency. These are basically the darker, richer proteins. For instance, red meat from beef or bison or lamb or venison, wild game. In regard to poultry, it's the dark meat of poultry. It's the legs and the thighs. It's not the breast. If you're a protein type and you're eating chicken breast, you're not eating the right type of protein.
And isn't that funny? I eat chicken breast because I'm told that chicken breast is the best, but I love when I get a half a chicken. I love the thigh, the leg, the rib meat. I even love that dark stuff that is inside the body cavity.
Yeah. That's what I call your nutritional instinct, that your body is directing you toward what it knows is of greater value, but at times could be that your beliefs about the chicken breast are overriding what your body is directing you towards. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so this is a very important point, to reemphasize. It's not enough for someone in protein-type metabolism to eat protein. It's really essential that you eat enough of the right type of protein. Not all proteins are created equal. For instance, plant proteins aren't going to satisfy the body's need for someone who is in protein-type metabolism. But then neither is the white meat of poultry, and neither is the light-colored fish like flounder and sole and tilapia and haddock. When you're in protein-type metabolism, you need to eat what are called the cold water fish, which are the more oily or fattier and typically darker fish, like salmon, Arctic char, sardines, herring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those are the foods that help to really strengthen a protein type where they tend to be metabolically weak and ultimately satisfy a protein type's nutritional needs for enough of the right type of protein, fat, and purines. So when it comes to the best sources of protein for someone in protein-type metabolism, it's all different types of red meats and also organ meats. Organ meats like liver, heart, kidneys.
That has the greatest value
for people in protein-type metabolism.
These are the meats that our ancestors ate, organ meat. These are meats that we do not eat today any longer. And in fact, when people point at the Asian community and they say, well, they don't eat protein, they don't eat this. The Asian people thrive on organ meats. They love organ meats. They eat lots of organ meats. And well, so, you know, we abandon organ meats here in the United States. People are afraid to eat liver or heart or any of that sort of stuff any longer.
Yeah. Organ meats have value for people in mixed-type metabolism, but that can often be the most powerful food medicine for helping a protein type who's out of balance to rebalance themselves and improve their overall health. But the other primary foods for someone in protein-type metabolism, besides red meats from healthy animals and organ meats, of course, also from healthy animals, are the dark meat of poultry, dark oily cold water fish, seafood, all the seafood items like shrimp and lobster and crab and clam and oysters and mussels and caviar and snails, all of that is prime protein type food. And and also pork. Pork has been demonized by certain religions. And but my experience has been that if you get pork from a healthy animal, a good pork chops or pork roast or pork tenderloin, that can be very good food for some people.
They have they have great pork products at uswellnessmeats.com. They have heritage pork. These are humanely raised pigs. They're not fed garbage. They're allowed to live like pigs, and the quality of the meat is fantastic, and you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be afraid that these animals are eating cigarette butts and chocolate bars and junk from garbage cans, which is what they feed most pigs.
Yeah, it's very tragic what goes on in the factory farms.
Yes.
But also in regard to pork products, ham is not a protein type appropriate food, but bacon is. My recommendation on bacon is to rinse it first, because I've never found a bacon, even organic nitrate-free bacon, that is not cured with some type of sweetener like cane juice extract or honey or maple syrup.
Brown sugar, right? Exactly.
Yeah, and that is really important for a protein type, because protein types will actually experience the most harm to their metabolic efficiency and their overall health from eating sugar. As my very good friend, Dr. Lena Garcia, who's a holistic dentist, as she puts it so beautifully, she's got a beautiful Portuguese accent, because she's from Brazil and her native language, of course, is Portuguese. And she'll say to me, because she gives a lot of attention to what's going on with a person's metabolism in regard to her dentistry. She has found that when people are eating much more in harmony with their metabolism, they're a lot less susceptible to tooth decay and gum problems and other periodontal problems.
That was what got Weston A. Price on
his dentistry. That's right. Weston Price would probably the most thorough nutrition researcher of the 20th century was a dentist. In fact, a lot of great nutrition researchers in the 20th century were dentists, and Dr. Garcia is a dentist, and she's done some really valuable work in nutrition as well. But Dr. William Donald Kelly, who made a huge contribution to the school of metabolic type nutrition, he, of course, was a dentist.
Right.
But Dr. Garcia will say to me, in regard to protein types and sugar, is she'll say to me, "You know, Jimmy, protein types just can't handle any sugar." That's the way she puts it to me.
Right, right.
And, of course, I've learned that from my own experience. She has seen that in her experience, that people in protein-type metabolism who are eating any amount of sugar will have significant decay in their teeth. And so this also, like you said, goes hand in hand with what Weston Price thought, because of those 14 indigenous cultures that he studied back in the 1930s, the one culture that experienced the greatest increase in tooth decay when they started eating refined and processed foods, some white flour, white sugar, were the Greenland Eskimos. And the Greenland Eskimos, of course, because of their environment, there's no plant foods available to those people all year round. They have, in their 2-week summer season, they have a little bit of wild cranberries that grow, and they do eat some other plant foods, seaweeds. A primary plant food for them that was available all year round. But, you know, in the Greenland Eskimos, they were the strongest protein types in the world, or any other similar culture. Like Weston Price also studied a Native American culture living in northern Canada, and in regard to the value of organ meats over muscle meats.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this teaching, but the Native American culture in northern Canada, their nourishing tradition was that when they hunted moose or caribou or elk, the people would eat the glands and the organs, and they threw most of the muscle meat to the dogs.
Really?
Yes.
That's astonishing.
For anybody out there who has never read Weston Price's classic book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, which was originally written in 1939. He revised it in 1945. But if you've never read that book from cover to cover, I highly recommend that you do. I still think it's one of the most important books anybody could ever read on nutrition. Now, some of the language in the book is out of date. It was written a long time ago, but none of the nutritional knowledge and understanding is out of date or ever will be out of date.
Yeah. All right, we have to take a quick commercial break. We've run over this break. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Jim Marlowe about protein-type metabolisms. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Jim Marlowe. And we're talking about people whose bodies prefer proteins over carbohydrates as we further explore the spectrum of possibilities for human metabolism. This is part two of a three-part series. Part three will obviously be people who have a combined preference or
mixed types,
as Jim likes to call them. Okay, so let's get back on it here. We were talking about the types of proteins that protein preferential people like. We were talking about organ meats and so on and so forth. How does someone determine if they are truly a protein type and not a mixed type?
Well, there are some very clear protein-type characteristics. There are always some exceptions to these characteristics, and mixed types can identify with basically all protein-type characteristics to some degree, but mixed types are people who will also identify with some of the carbo-type characteristics to some degree. But someone who's truly a protein type, someone in protein type metabolism, because either they have what is known as fast oxidation going on, or they're in what is known also as parasympathetic dominance. Those are the two physiological reasons why people are in protein type metabolism. They're either parasympathetically dominant.
Well, explain what parasympathetic dominance means, Jim.
Well, just very simply, we have something called our autonomic nervous system. Our autonomic nervous system is also known as the unconscious nervous system. And the autonomic or unconscious nervous system regulates the workings of our entire body without us having to consciously think about it. And the autonomic nervous system is divided into two divisions. There's the sympathetic nervous system and there's the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is like the accelerator for most of our metabolic functions. The sympathetic nervous system needs to be in charge when you get up in the morning. It needs to be in charge when you have a day filled with responsibilities, obligations, and commitments to take care of. It needs to be in charge when you're exercising, when you're under stress. The sympathetic nervous system is basically mostly our stress response nervous system. When the sympathetic nervous system is in charge, it promotes alertness, positive, elevated mood, ambition. It gets you going. It helps you to get things done. Now, the parasympathetic nervous system works simultaneously but in opposition to the sympathetic nervous system, and the parasympathetic nervous system is like the brakes for the sympathetic nervous system, because you don't want to be and stress response all day long.
Right.
You know, when you are under stress, you want to have enough parasympathetic drive there for your body to be able to deal with the stress. But after the stress has passed, you want your parasympathetic activity to balance you out, so to speak. The sympathetic nervous system.
I mean, an example of this would be somebody who gets agitated, their heart rate elevates, and they end up breaking into tachycardia.
That's a sympathetic response.
Right, because the parasympathetic nervous system isn't holding them back or tethering them, so to speak.
Right. Well, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems are always working together,
right.
But sometimes you want the sympathetic nervous system to be dominant, and sometimes really dominant, sometimes only slightly dominant, and other times you want the parasympathetic activity to be dominant. The sympathetic nervous system is also called the fight or flight nervous system,
right.
And the parasympathetic nervous system is also called the rest and digest nervous system, because you want your parasympathetic nervous system to be dominant when you're resting, relaxing, when you're nourishing your body. The parasympathetic activity is needed to support efficient digestion all the way from the stomach down through the intestines. And digestion and absorption, assimilation of nutrients from your food, that's under the domain of parasympathetic activity. So you want your parasympathetic nervous system to also be dominant when you're sleeping or when you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, right.
If your parasympathetic nervous system is not strong enough and you're still on sympathetic overdrive from a very stressful day, you're not likely to fall asleep.
Right.
Until you tone down that sympathetic response. But for people who tend to be parasympathetic dominant most of the time, where they have, for various reasons, they have an ongoing physiological imbalance where their parasympathetic activity seems to be dominant, overly active at times when you don't want it to be overly active, like when you're getting out of bed in the morning. Someone who is parasympathetic dominant all the time is someone who hits the snooze button on their alarm clock
right.
four or five times before they get up.
Or when
you know,
they
do
get up.
They have to drag themselves out of
right.
bed in the morning.
Or when they do get up, they just can't wake up. They say, gee, I don't know, I still feel sleepy. I can't wake up for some reason.
Yeah, that would be someone in very, very definite, parasympathetic dominance.
Right, right.
But the problem with being in parasympathetic dominance all the time is that metabolically, you're not going to be metabolizing protein, fats, and carbohydrates efficiently. Same thing happens with people who are in fast oxidation. There are two kinds of protein types. There are parasympathetic dominant protein types. There are fast oxidizing protein types. Practically speaking, they basically have the same metabolic problems going on, just to keep it real simple. All protein types basically have a metabolic imbalance where they tend to burn their carbohydrates too fast and very inefficiently, and protein and fat metabolism is going relatively too slow and inefficiently. And so the objective of the protein type meal plan that I teach people to follow is to use food like medicine to strengthen themselves where they tend to be metabolically weak, which is their protein, fat, and purine metabolism, and to balance themselves where they tend to be metabolically out of balance, which is in their carbohydrate metabolism. It's going too fast and it needs to be slowed down. And a simple strategy to do that is to just reduce your intake of carbohydrates and be very attentive to the quality of carbohydrates you're consuming. But that's actually the tertiary part of the protein type meal plan. The primary and secondary parts of the protein type meal plan is to eat enough of the right type of protein, fats, and purines at every meal, and get some low carbohydrate vegetable nutrition into your meal. Protein types can benefit from some plant foods. Of course, animal foods are of primary importance, generally speaking, for protein types. But protein types can do well on certain low carb or very low carb vegetables that seem to be uniquely rich in purines for plant foods, such as mushrooms, spinach, celery, asparagus, cauliflower, string beans.
I love mushrooms, too. Isn't that funny? Yeah. I really do, especially those big portobello mushrooms. I have to put them on the grill. But anyway, I probably should eat them raw, shouldn't I?
Well, my teaching on that is to try them both ways. Try them raw, try them cooked, you know, try them lightly cooked. You know, if you are going to cook your food, it's very important that you don't overcook it. And so I'm a fan of teaching people to use more gentle cooking methods, like cooking your food in an oven at 225 degrees rather than the much more common 350 degrees, or steaming your food, or just crock pot cooking is a very, very common form of low temperature cooking. But I'm not a fan of cooking anything on the grill. If you try the mushrooms raw and you try them cooked, listen to your body then, Carl, and go with what feels better to you. You know, there is no one nutritional practice in regard to specifically whether you're eating your food raw or cooked that is going to be universally beneficial for everybody. Now, I think it is universally beneficial for everybody who is eating cooked food to use the more gentle methods of cooking and really avoid overcooking your food, because when the food is overcooked, you've just created so much more damage and destruction to the nutritional value of the food. And also, in the process, when food is overcooked, you're actually creating toxins, too.
Yeah.
So,
and advanced glycation end products that people don't realize they're just ingesting, as opposed to building up on their own.
The most common oven temperature that people use for baking things, 350 degrees, at that temperature, you can create some toxins that are known to be carcinogenic. For instance, at 350 degrees, you can actually heat damage protein to the point where you can create what are known as heterocyclic amines, which are severely heat damaged amino acids. They are carcinogenic. At 350 degrees, you can create lipid peroxides.
Yeah, lipid peroxidase. It's very, very dangerous.
Well, in the fat and oil content of any food that is cooked at 350 degrees, you're going to cause some lipid peroxidation to be caused, you know, free radical damage to fats and oils. You'll get some of that. The higher the oil content, the higher the unsaturated fat content, the more lipid peroxidation you'll get, which again is just free radical damage fats, and they are carcinogenic. And even at 350 degrees, you can heat damage starches like, you know, when people bake a potato at 350 degrees,
right,
they're going to be producing some of what are known as acrylamides. Those are severely heat-damaged, starchy carbohydrates, and they are also carcinogenic. So, you know, ultimately everything comes down to consciousness and practice. What do you know? What are you aware of? And what do you do about what you know and what you're aware of? But, you know, a lot of people are just unconscious about what they do. In fact, you know, I've been doing nutrition counseling for a long time, and I've been teaching people about my low-temperature cooking guidelines for years. And when I ask someone who is cooking their food at 350 degrees, when I ask them, do you know why 350 degrees became the most popular oven temperature that is used for cooking?
Why?
I've never met anybody yet who can tell me that answer.
Why? Do you know why?
No, they just go along with it. Well, it's a long story. It has to do mostly with cooking food faster, and it has to do really with what chefs were doing in restaurants when they had a whole variety of foods to cook with, and you cook at higher temperatures, so you cook the food faster, but you also damage more of the natural flavor in the food. But if you're a chef in a restaurant, so what? Then you give yourself work to do. Now you have an excuse to make a nice sauce or gravy to enhance the flavor of the food because you've destroyed much of the natural flavor of the food.
Hey, Jim, we have to take a commercial break. Okay. When we come back, I've got more questions for you. We're talking with Jim Marlowe. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E-R.com. Space is very limited. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to AgeForce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Jim Marlowe. And we're talking about the spectrum of possibilities for human metabolism. This is part two of a three-part series. We're talking about people who prefer protein or protein types. But before we get back to the interview, I've got to tell you, I've got a Facebook post from Daniel Spacek. I hope I pronounced that right, Daniel. And he lives in Australia. And he said, is there any email address or Skype contact for us to get a hold of Jim Marlowe?
My email address is riffandtheremedy@gmail.com.
Spell that.
R-I-F, as in Frank, F, R-I-F-F-A-N-D-T-H-E-R-E-M-E-D-Y. riffandtheremedy@gmail.com. I always prefer to talk to people because I'm not a very good typist, and I think
he knew that. That's why he asked if you had a Skype. Do you use Skype at all?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that. Okay. Actually, I've heard of it, but I don't use
Skype.
That.
Skype is pretty cool. I use it for international phone calls now, as opposed to, well, not in the studio, but in private and for business purposes when I need to make an international phone call. They're very cool.
Well, I think maybe I should look into that if I'm going to have people listening to the program from Australia or other continents.
Oh, we've had listeners today from everywhere you can imagine. South America, Israel, Denmark. I mean, it goes on and on. So a lot of people are listening
to.
Okay. So, and you know what? I know this has nothing to do with the show, but for those of you who listen to his email address, Riff and the Remedy, many probably think that it has some sort of medical undertone, but it actually was a band that you had a long time ago, right?
That's right. Back in the 80s. I had my own band, and that was the name of the band, Riff and the Remedy.
So there you go. The multifaceted Jim Marlowe.
believe it or not, I didn't have an email address until last year.
Really?
When I say I'm a low-tech guy, I mean it. I needed to have an email address finally, so I just kind of very casually and with a sense of humor, I just thought, oh, I'll use Riff and the Remedy. I went with that. But if I had to do it over, I probably would have chosen something else. I know I can get a new email address, but
I think it's pretty cool. All right, okay. So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Talked about on the last show the signs if you are a carbohydrate-type person.
Right.
I have a feeling that if you're a protein-slash-fat-type person, the signs may be different, especially since the sympathetic parasympathetic nervous system comes into play with these types of individuals. When people are not eating the proper types and amounts of proteins, and they're basing their diet on carbohydrate intake, but they are protein type people, I suspect that there could be lots of signs and symptoms that would present themselves as ADHD type people?
Well, any metabolic type is prone to that if they're not meeting their nutritional needs, and if they've got systemic toxicity problems from heavy metals and chemicals, and people in protein type metabolism, whether they're fast oxidizers or parasympathetic dominant, will share much in common. And the primary protein type characteristics that I use as a preliminary tool to identify whether someone I'm working with is in protein type metabolism or not is the following characteristics. For instance, protein types are people who have an intense relationship with food. And what I mean by that is protein types think about food a lot. It's not unusual for a protein type to be thinking about what they're going to have for lunch as they're eating their breakfast. And as they're eating their lunch, they're already thinking about when they're going to have their dinner and what they're going to have.
Why do you think that is, that protein types are like that?
They do not do well if they go too long without eating, Carl. Yeah. Protein types do not do well if they skip a meal. Skipping a meal is usually a very big deal for a protein type. They may have to skip a meal for reasons there where they don't have a chance to eat, but they're not going to choose to skip a meal. And if they go too long without eating, it's going to knock them off balance. It's going to hurt their energy. It can hurt their mood. It can hurt their mental clarity. Protein types are the people who, if they go too long without eating, it becomes increasingly difficult for them to be patient, calm, and relaxed. They can still be patient, calm, and relaxed, but they have to work really,
really
hard,
hard
at
on
it.
Yeah.
Because they're beginning to feel, for metabolic reasons, when a protein type goes too long without eating, they're going to feel almost pushed toward feelings of impatience and irritability and anxiety. And protein types who are really hungry, if everything is not going their way, they can get very easily frustrated and angry over little things. And this is because ultimately, the brain is the most nutrient-sensitive organ of the body. And when a protein type has gone too long without eating, the brain is ultimately going to run very low on energy, and you're going to be much more sensitive to the stressors in your life when your brain is low on energy. Dr. George Watson, who's one of the most important nutrition researchers of the 20th century, Dr. Watson and his colleagues did some pioneering research on human metabolism and human nutrition in the 1950s, and Dr. Watson made a huge contribution to the school of metabolic type nutrition. His book called Nutrition in Your Mind, written in 1972, is as much a classic book on nutrition as Weston Price's book is that I mentioned before.
Right.
But Dr. Watson talked about how anxiety and depression and other so-called mental emotional problems ultimately result because the body is lacking brain and nervous system energy to deal with life, to deal with the world around you. And so protein types do not do well if they go too long without eating. So this definitely affects their behavior, their food personality, as I call it. And because of this, protein types think about food a lot. And they love to eat. It could be truly said that protein types, most of the time, if not all of the time, they live to eat, unlike carbotypes who would eat to live. But protein types live to eat. That's what they're going to eat and when they're going to eat is typically at the center of their daily life. And 90% of the time, protein types tend to eat fast, too fast, and they know it.
Yeah.
They tend to wolf their food down. And this is true, believe it or not, for women as well as men. I've worked with actually more protein type women over the years than men, and it's amazing to me how that is their habit as well as it is a man's habit who is in protein type
metabolism. I am absolutely a protein type. There's no doubt in my mind. If there was any doubt in my mind before today's show, it's all gone now. I eat so fast that I am the subject and the brunt of jokes amongst all of my close friends and relatives.
Well, as I said, Carl, mixed types, especially mixed types who are close to protein types, can definitely identify with all of the protein type characteristics, but ultimately how I definitively identify someone as being in protein type metabolism is it has to do with ultimately how your body is affected by certain foods. For instance, when a protein type is feeling hungry and tired and say even mentally down, they're a bit, down in the dumps, eating some high-quality meat will restore their energy and actually give them a boost in their mood and their mental clarity. High-quality meat, specifically of the right kind, the purine-richer type of meats, like let's say grass-fed beef and
liver,
bison
and
liver, and the dark meat of poultry and salmon or sardines or even mussels or lobster or oysters. That type of food is what they need to restore their energy and their vitality. Plant foods won't do it. In fact, if a protein type is feeling tired, and they have, say, a glass of orange juice, the glass of orange juice is going to make them feel even more tired, but mentally wired. It's a very strange experience that they typically have where they feel mentally wired, but physically tired. And basically any type of carbohydrate can have that effect. If a protein type is feeling tired and run down and hungry, and if they sit down to a pasta dinner, it's not going
to
do it.
Pasta will put me to sleep. It will make me sleep if I eat pasta.
Well, here's another characteristic about a protein type. If a protein type sits down to, say, a pasta dinner, let's say they've got some spaghetti with red sauce, and even if there's a little bit of meat in the red sauce,
right,
and they also have a side of garlic bread and a salad, a protein type can eat that meal to the point where they will feel not only physically full, but stuffed.
Yeah.
But very, very perplexingly to them, they'll still feel hungry.
Yes, and that, I was just going to say, but I'm still hungry. If I eat a high starchy carbohydrate meal,
yes,
I feel the same way that people who claim that they don't digest beef.
Uh-huh.
I feel like my stomach is stretched to its maximum capacity. It's pressing up against my chest. I'm uncomfortable, but I'm not satisfied. And
right,
I'll actually get up from a meal like that in my discomfort and have a protein drink.
And does that satisfy you?
Yes, that once I have the protein drink, I feel like, oh, now I've got what I needed. Like I needed to top off the meal with some protein. And I've even those people around me who know me will know that when I eat, every now and then someone will say, oh, I feel like having pizza. So I will, and I don't crave pizza. It's not something that I look at as like a cheat food, but I'll go ahead and have a slice of pizza.
Okay.
But then I have to have some protein source after that. And it's not just psychological. I feel like I need it to top off the meal because I feel like I'm out of balance without that.
Mm-hmm. Well, people in protein type metabolism who are sitting down to a pasta dinner will have a very strong tendency to overeat that meal to the point where they feel stuffed, very uncomfortably food,
right,
very uncomfortably full, but very perplexingly, as I said,
not satisfied.
They won't feel satisfied, or if they do feel satisfied initially, within an hour or so, they're going to be, if they're at home, they're going to be going to the refrigerator, opening up the door, looking inside and say, oh, I need something, don't know what it is. But
and that's exactly what I do. I stand there in front of the refrigerator, and Elisa will say to me, close the refrigerator. Nothing has changed in there since the last time you looked. And I'm just standing in front of the refrigerator looking for something. And quite often, I'll gravitate to something like a huge hunk of Jarlsberg cheese, or if there's some cottage cheese, I'll have some cottage cheese, or cream, or something that I feel like will top off the meal. I don't feel like I'm done eating, even though my stomach is full.
Yeah, well, your brain is telling you that you did not nourish yourself properly.
Right.
You ate a lot of food, but it wasn't the right type of food.
There you go.
And you know that's the beauty of eating in harmony with your metabolism is it helps you to satisfy your body's nutritional needs so much more efficiently. You know, in the very first session you had, you mentioned that some people just kind of naturally gravitate toward what's right for their metabolism, and that's beautiful when that happens. But my experience is most people are not so blessed, and most people are on information overload. They're confused. You know, they've tried a lot of different dietary strategies, and they may have actually touched on what is most in harmony with their metabolism, like a protein type who's following the Atkins diet, you know, typically will do well.
Right.
But they may abandon it because they hear that, oh, no, the Atkins diet is not healthy long term. And so, you know, it's way too much fat. And so it's going to hurt you in the long run, you know. And so they stop doing it because they have the belief that, you know, it's not healthy for them in the long run. But if they really are in protein type metabolism, that's not true.
It's healthy.
It's not true at all. The Atkins diet can be healthy.
Let's take
them.
Our last commercial break. And when we come back, we will also tell people how they can get in touch with you. We're talking with Jim Marlowe. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Why are you listening? Because you're smart. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yeah.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength, and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Jim, before we finish up with the interview, please tell people how they can reach you if they want help creating a better nutritional plan for themselves.
Thank you, Carl. But before I do that, I'd like to emphasize to you and any other protein types out there that the single most powerful nutritional practice that a protein type can engage in is to eat enough of the right type of protein, fat, and purines. Let's just use the word meat in a generic sense here,
right.
but all the different types of meats I was referring to before, dark meat of poultry, red meat, and organ meats especially. But to eat the meat first at every meal and finish it completely before you touch any other food. If you've never done that practice, give that practice a try. In regard to the art of nutrition for someone in protein type metabolism, it's not enough to eat the right type of meat. It's equally important for many people to eat it first. The order in which you eat your foods, when you have a variety of foods in front of you, what you choose to eat first matters. And for some people, it matters a lot. And so if you've never tried eating your meat first and finishing it completely before you move on to another food, like a vegetable or even some grains or some legumes, try eating your protein first at every meal for an extended period of time to see how that feels.
I do this instinctively. If I sit down and I have a steak and asparagus and some other vegetables, I eat the entire steak first. In fact, it boggles some people who think that I'm not going to eat the other items. And I say, no, I am. I just want to eat this first. I do this instinctively.
Well, that's really good protein-type metabolism instinct, because that is your most metabolically important food. That is the food that is going to do the most to satisfy the nutritional needs of your body, but you're not going to satisfy all of your needs with that food. So it's important that protein types understand that there is a place for some plant food nutrition, some vegetables. Asparagus that you mentioned is actually one of the prime protein-type vegetables, so that's a great choice. And protein types do need to eat some carbs, but I mentioned in our first session when I was talking about the macronutrient ratio that a really good macronutrient ratio for a protein type is about maybe 40% of their calories from protein, 40 to 50% of their calories from fat, and only about 10 to 20% of their calories from carbohydrates. But yeah, protein types do need some carbs, especially if you're working out and you're engaging in especially intense
high intensity
exercise.
Yeah, high intensity exercise, absolutely. Yeah. And that's I do it because I don't want to get filled up on the vegetables or the potatoes. I want to get I just in case I run out of room, I feel like I want to get the good stuff in first. That's why I do it.
Well,
I eat the steak first.
That's an excellent example of what you were talking about, Carl, in our first session, where some people naturally gravitate to a nutritional practice that is really right for them, because we all do have nutritional instinct. We're born with it. All living creatures on this planet need to be able to recognize what really good nutrition is means to them. And, it's essential for survival. So, some people will naturally gravitate toward the foods that are best for them and also the practices, like, you know, when you have a variety of foods in front of you, what do you eat first? You know, that's always a good practice for a protein type, you know, to eat their meat or, just generally speaking, their protein first. But as far as my contact information,
please,
my phone number is 773-506-7247. That's 773-506-7247, and I prefer phone calls over emails.
There you go. But if you're outside the country and the only initial contact you can make with Jim, it's Riff, R-I-F-F, and The Remedy, right?
Riff and The Remedy at gmail.com.
Okay, and then maybe Jim will be inspired, if enough people from outside the United States get in touch with him, to install Skype so he can have a couple international conferences calls as well. There you go. All right, and then next Tuesday we're doing the third installment of this interview, which is people who have mixed type metabolism.
People in mixed type metabolism.
And we'll discuss that. Jim, always a pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Thank you, Carl.
And talk to you again soon, okay?
Look forward to next
Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
And I want to also thank Dr. John Cannell for coming on the show and talking about the importance of vitamin D in athletic performance. You can get a copy of his book, which is Athlete's Edge, Faster, Quicker, Stronger with Vitamin D, by going to vitamindsportsbook.com. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.